Welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday, November 20th, 2024, formal meeting of the Iowa City Planning and Zoning Commission. Commissioners present are Hench, Wade, Craig, and Miller. Commissioners with excused absences, Quellhorst, Elliott, and Townsend. Next item on the agenda is public discussion for any item not on the agenda. If there's anybody that's present tonight who'd like to address the commission for an item not on tonight's agenda, now is your opportunity. Seeing no one come forward, we'll go on to number four on the agenda. This is case number REZ24-0008. The location is east of Camp Cardinal Road and north of Gathering Place Lane. This is an application for a rezoning of approximately 31.2 acres of land from medium density single family residential zone with a planned development overlay to medium density single family residential zone with a planned development overlay. Rachel, you're up.
Good evening, everyone. Rachel Schaefer, Associate Planner. To start off on Rezone 24008, this property is one of the few large undeveloped areas east of 218. As far as uses, there are single-family homes to the north, north and east of the property, in the area to the west of Camp Cardinal Boulevard. Let's get my pointer up here. Here is being built as a duplex and multifamily development. There's also multifamily uses and a church to the south. As far as zoning goes, the properties to the north and south are mostly low-density single-family residential, or RS5, with OPD overlays. The properties are rural residential with an OPD overlay to the east. The properties to the west are low-density multifamily residential, or RM12, with an OPD overlay. And to the south, there is also RM12 properties and an RS5 with a private group assembly use, the church, there. As far as the GIS maps go, we're having a few issues with our OPD overlays, so you might notice that this exhibit looks a little different than your staff report. I just wanted to point that out. I've added those hatched overlays here. You can also see the subject property with that OPD overlay. So this property was originally rezoned to OPD RS8 with a preliminary OPD plan that was approved in February 9th, 2023, to allow for the construction of a senior living community with a mix of housing types and a commercial use. Then a final plat was approved in January 2024. And the reason for this rezoning is to maintain, or the reason this zone is maintaining OPD RS8 is because the applicant is requesting to amend the previously approved OPD, which originally changed the zoning to OPD RS8. Now the applicant is proposing to change the approved OPD plan to convert the Camille Court area from 5 single family homes to a 16 unit elder apartment building with a rehab and wellness facility for residents of the development on the ground floor. Again, this proposed change cannot be administratively approved, so that's the reason this rezone is before you today. So I just wanted to give some context of what the property looks like right now. On the right, I sort of have a key, the top of the triangle is where I was standing taking the photo, sort of pointing at what we're looking at. So here, we're looking to the south from where Gathering Place Lane ends, and you can see the Cardinal Villa condos there on the right, and then the St. Andrew's Church on the left. Going up Gathering Place Lane on the subject property, this is from where Gathering Place Lane will be. You can see that they're currently undergoing site grading and installation of utilities. So this is looking at that traffic circle that'll be approaching the area we're discussing today. And then this is the actual area where they're going to, or they're proposing to convert those 5 single family dwellings to the multi-family residential building with the rehab and wellness facility. You can also see there in the background those protected woodlands that we mentioned in the staff report and further in this presentation. And then this is a picture from Deer Creek Road, looking at the area that will become a traffic circle at the junction of Camp Cardinal. So this is Deer Creek Road, and Camp Cardinal Road comes this way. The city is currently in the design phase to extend this portion of Camp Cardinal Road, and eventually there'll be a traffic circle, and Deer Creek Road will extend into the Cardinal Heights subdivision. So there'll be an additional connection there. So I just wanted to give you some photos of that. Construction for this portion, this extension, is estimated for spring, the upcoming spring. And then here's another angle. So this is the unimproved Camp Cardinal, and you can see there that the adjacent development, the Cardinal Heights subdivision, is actually finishing up their installation of those roads. So that'll be the extension of Deer Creek there. So currently the property is approved for 35 single family homes, 8 duplexes, 20 townhome style multifamily, and 38 multifamily units for a total of 101 units. They are also approved for a 16 bed memory care facility. The approved OPD plan was approved with waivers as well. One of the main ones being the mix of housing uses, so not just single family, but those multifamily and commercial uses as well. They also requested an increase in the maximum height for the two multifamily units on the property to be 45 instead of the standard 35 for the zoning district. Again, now the applicant is proposing an additional multifamily residential building with that same waiver request to increase the height from 35 to 45 to address, again, topography and rooftop features similar to the reasoning provided in 2023. In addition, the applicant's updating the plan to make two changes that are able to be administratively approved. So I'll point those out in the future slides, but that is the reason that it only jumps from 101 units to 105 units. So I'll point those out later. But a total of 105 units is being proposed. So here is the approved OPD plan from 2023. Again, there's that mix of uses. You can see the single family homes and the multifamily down here. But what we're focusing on today is sort of the changes to this area circled in red. So again, the changes that are being proposed in today are to convert what was the 5 single family home cul-de-sac area of Camille Court into a 16 unit elder apartment building with rehab and wellness areas for the Western Home patrons. So all of the individuals residing in this development will have access to that rehab and wellness facility. And then those changes that I mentioned that can be administratively approved, so aren't part of this rezoning, are to reduce the unit count of building 102 from the originally approved 22 units to 16 units, so there's a reduction in those units there. And then they're also proposing to remove one single family home from the bulb of Clare Court, which is now being called Timberview Court, due to topography and trying to reduce some of their construction that would be needed to build a home there. So when we look at these type of rezonings, we use 4 criteria to review the planned unit developments. And then there's also an additional 2 criteria that we use for all rezonings. So we're gonna go through those now. As far as density goes, the allowed density for the RS8 zone is 8 dwelling units per net acre, and the proposed changes are falling under that, with a total density of 3.9 dwelling units per acre being proposed with these updates. Originally, the development was approved at 3.7, so just a minor jump there from the previously approved plan. Again, the applicant is proposing that multifamily residential building, which isn't typically allowed in the RS8 zone, without an OPD. Again, the original OPD approved something similar to that, but because of the additional multifamily building, we are reviewing that again. Based on the on-site parking calculations, I also wanted to point out that this multifamily building that we're looking at today, the proposed units, the parking is being calculated using our elder apartment calculation and requirement. So these will have to be maintained as elder apartments and be occupied by 55 or older tenants. Again, the surrounding land uses include single-family homes to the north and east, St. Andrew's Church to the southeast, and multifamily condos to the south. The property to the west, again, is being developed into those townhomes, duplexes, and multifamily units. And then the multifamily building that's being proposed, we see as being complementary to those already approved multifamily dwellings on the site and adjacent to the site. As far as mass goes, due to the potential impacts to sensitive areas, the layout of this development is more compact than a conventional development in a single-family residential zone. The proposed multifamily use is on the west side of the property near more intense uses, including the previously approved townhomes and condos-style multifamily buildings. Again, St. Andrew's Church is down there in this area, Cardinal Villas condos, and then the Cardinal Heights subdivision to the west that has those more intense home uses. The proposed development still allows for that transition, again, from higher intensity in that west corner to the east, where there's the single, predominantly single-family homes as you go through the property. The applicant, again, has requested that reduction, so as far as massing of this building, or sorry, addition of 10 feet. So the massing of this building will be is being requested to be 10 feet over what's typical for the area. As far as open space goes, private open space is being provided on that rooftop of the building, which is why that height increase is being requested. And then overall, this development has ample open space and protected areas for those sensitive features. Traffic circulation, this proposal makes no changes to the traffic circulation that was originally approved, other than that removal of the Camille Court right-of-way, so that cul-de-sac that originally was planned to access those single-family homes will no longer be needed, as this development will be accessed directly from Gathering Place Lane. Gathering Place Lane is accessible from Camp Cardinal Road, and once Camp Cardinal Road, again, is improved to the north, there will also be access from Deer Creek Road. Staff recommends maintaining a previously approved condition of the original rezoning that required the owners to contribute a 50% of the cost to improving Camp Cardinal Road to Deer Creek Road. So we're just recommending maintaining that condition from the previous rezoning. And then we're recommending to add an additional condition due to the fact that because we're removing that right-of-way, a replat is required. So we're recommending a condition that final plat application be submitted and approved prior to any building permits for this property. So here are some renderings provided from the applicant looking at the proposed building. You can see here that this in the front is where they're proposing the rehab and wellness center. And then this larger building farther off the right of way is the multifamily dwelling. So the 16 units are there. You can see that parking is being proposed on the side with some screening from the roadway. But most of the parking, there's some here, but most of the parking is actually accessed from the rear here and will be below grade. Here's more of a bird's eye view of that same development. You can see the neighboring cul-de-sac there. And then this is even more zoomed out. And I think this really shows, again, what we're trying to get at as far as continuing that transition and not sort of breaking up from this higher density that are already improved, these dwelling units, multifamily dwellings, to another higher intensity multifamily dwelling unit being proposed here. I do want to point out that the wellness center and rehab facility is shorter than the multifamily building, so that also helps with the transition, you know, across the street to the single family homes that are shorter, and then as you continue on Gathering Place Lane, you'll have that shorter building fronting the street. Utilities, we see no issues there. They're being installed, the ongoing installation and grading happening on the property. The approved plan in 2023 was expected to have 309 daily trips on Deer Creek Road and Gathering Place Lane, which is less than the 500 vehicle trips that would cause them to become overburdened. And with those four additional units being proposed overall for the site, we didn't see any major effect for that there'd be any more than those 309 daily trips. So a negligible addition to the trip count, and we don't believe that these roads would be overburdened due to this request. Again, Camp Cardinal Road is planning to be improved sometime in the spring. I also wanted to point out that they are still proposing angled parking between these two multifamily buildings. So staff recommends maintaining the previously approved condition that the owner maintain these spaces, including snow removal and things like that. Okay, so as far as how this affects surrounding properties, the nearest neighbors to the north of the proposed multifamily building are separated by a woodlands preservation area and a stream corridor. You can see that stream corridor up here. The property to the west is also separated by woodlands preservation, and the proposed building is set back from those north and west property lines by much more than a conventional development and meets the setback requirements from the south and the east as well. As such, the proposed development will not adversely affect the views, light, air, property value, and neighboring properties' privacy any more than a conventional development would. Okay, so these are those modifications that I have briefly mentioned as I went through this presentation. So just breaking those out, height is one of the requests. Again, the applicant is requesting a max height of the multifamily building be increased to 45 feet from 35, as was approved for the other multifamily and mixed-use buildings in 2023. Approval criteria requires that the design of the development result in sufficient light and air circulation for each building and adequate accessible open space for all residents of the development. And according to the applicant, the additional height is proposed to accommodate that open space for those residents with sort of a half story increase on the rooftop there. It is also required that at least 35% of the net area in the development be free of buildings, parking, and vehicle maneuvering areas. And this standard is met and exceeding that with 70% of the proposed development being left as open space or being preserved for sensitive areas. Again, the applicant is also requesting an additional multifamily building, so this is a request in the mix of uses. The proposed multifamily building adds to the already approved mix of senior housing in the development, a mix of housing is always encouraged with planned developments. According to the applicant and renderings, the proposed multifamily utilizes similar architectural elements, scale, massing, and materials as the previously approved single-family, multifamily, and commercial buildings. So the two waiver requests appear to be in the public interest and meet all of those approval criteria. As far as compliance with the comprehensive plan, the changes proposed still align with the goals of the comprehensive plan. The proposed density, again, of 3.9 units per acre aligns with the future land use map in the IC 2030 plan, which recommends a density between 2 and 8 dwelling units per acre. The proposal continues to align with the comprehensive plan's encouragement of housing diversity, connected neighborhoods, the preservation of sensitive features, and pedestrian-oriented development. So the subject property contains those regulated wetlands, stream corridors, slopes, and woodlands. The applicant submitted a sensitive area development plan again in 2023 with that original OPD rezoning. And with that approval, those conservation easements for those areas were established through the final platting process to protect those environmentally sensitive areas on the site. The proposed plan does not change anything from the original preliminary sensitive area development plan, and the conservation easements will remain on the plat as they are currently shown. So as far as correspondence, staff did not receive any written correspondence from the public, and a good neighbor meeting was also held on November 6th by the applicant. Therefore, staff recommends approval of REZ 24-008, again, maintaining those two conditions from the previous approval that ensured the development contributes to the cost of upgrading Camp Cardinal, and that the owner of the property maintain those on-street angled parking. And then we also, in addition, recommend adding a condition to ensure a replat showing the removal of Camille Court, the right-of-way, is also approved. As for next steps, we would presumably have a recommendation for council tonight, and then we will schedule a council to set a public hearing on December 10th for consideration by council on January 7th with two additional readings after that. With that, any questions for me?
Thank you, Rachel. That was very clear and concise. That was excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any commissioners' questions for Rachel at this time?
I got a few.
Yeah.
Is there any restriction on, in the image it reflects that the rehab is at a lower height, but then we're approved, or the request is to go 45 for the whole structure. So is there any restriction for the street facing or residential facing that is at a lower height that blends with the neighborhood versus allowing it across the property?
I would say no. We don't hold them to these elevations, so there is nothing saying that they couldn't increase that area, but we don't foresee that happening.
Right.
I don't know.
Potentially, yeah. It could be 45.
Correct.
Across the whole building.
Correct.
And were there any, if I remember correctly, there were some setbacks that were decreased in the initial approval. Has that rolled over into this, or does this follow standard setbacks?
This would follow standard setbacks. There's been no request for those additional modifications for this addition. Yeah.
Anything else, Chad? All right. Now we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Now is the opportunity for any member of the public to address the commission on this particular rezoning application. We'll start out with the applicant or the applicant's representative. And when you come forward, please sign in and state your name, please.
Hello, I'm Mike Welch with Shoemaker in Holland.
And Steve Long with Salida Partners. Unfortunately, Chris and Pat, who have been here in the past with Western Home, they have a board meeting at the same time this evening. But Mike and I are very familiar with the project and been with them for a number of years. So,
happy to answer questions if you have any, otherwise.
Just a couple of really simple ones. For the memory care facility that's only for memory care, there's no assisted living or independent living in that facility as it's projected now?
It's anticipated. It's a combination assisted living and memory care.
Oh, it is. Okay.
They said two floors. One
that's
is
correct.
Memory care and one's assisted.
Okay, but no independent living? Just
in
those
that
two.
One in that building?
Yes.
No, just those two uses.
Okay. In the multifamily building, did I hear correctly, that's only 55 plus? Is that what that's going to be restricted
yes.
to? Okay. And then in lot number two on the stormwater retention area, you have in parentheses wet. Is that anticipated to have water in it year round? Is that what that
Yep, water
denotes?
Year round and probably a fountain or aerator.
Okay, good. All right. That's all I have. Steve?
A couple quick questions. The 35 to 45 feet increase, Rachel, you said those to provide open space. Is that with a half story on the roof is what you said? Can you explain that a little bit? Just like what that use is?
Yeah, I think we're looking just for like a rooftop patio space and then and some height for a pergola or some kind of coverage for part of it probably.
Okay.
And then with also with the grades, we're not at a level grade around the whole building. So we'll have some potential for some of it to be
over 35.
Over the,
that makes sense.
Yep, over the 35.
Susan?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Chad?
I think, you know, my only concern is that is a fairly large building, and then if it does, that 45 feet does go to the full building, then I think it becomes pretty substantial compared to the neighboring residential.
Could you address a little bit of the topography of the location where the 45-foot building would be? I could look it up, but do you know what the elevations are in that particular area and how that would compare to the surrounding areas?
I mean, it's definitely on the highest part of the property. With grading the street, we did cut that area down 6 to 7 feet. So it's 6 or 7 feet lower than it was before we started, where building three is going. And buildings 1, 2, and 3 are all about the same floor elevation.
Okay.
Within a foot or two.
And then the timbered area around them, is that mature timber?
It is, yep.
So they're probably in the 30 to 40 foot range, those trees. I'm just sort of guessing. I didn't drive out there for this one.
Yeah, I would say that's fair.
Okay.
Yep.
Is it possible, I'm asking staff this, is it possible to add an additional restriction about the setback required for the smaller building in front of the big building?
Rehab building?
Yeah.
Yeah, if the commission wants to add a condition that somehow ties the building to the renderings, we would just need to know what public need the rezoning is creating and how it's addressed through that condition.
I mean, I don't necessarily require that it be tied to, I mean, me personally, I don't know how the others feel, to the renderings, but something about that the 45 feet height is not allowed within X feet of mm-hmm. the road.
But just to play devil's advocate, the two previously approved?
Well, actually, for staff discussion, we'll do that after we have a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But this is just a question opportunity right now.
Makes sense.
And then we'll, Steve, did you have
another question? You could recommend a condition, though, that speaks to the setback like you asked, Susan.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Steve.
I guess this is a question for staff as well, that exception for the parking not being behind the building here because of topography, that makes sense, and also the use to, you know, for the community members to use the shared amenities. The rendering showed like some site walls that were screening it, but those aren't showing up on the civil plans or landscape plans. Is that like a requirement to have any type of screening for that parking lot, or?
So the rezoning is actually not able to approve that parking on the side. You're speaking to the requirement that requires parking in the rear of a multifamily development. So they're actually going to have to apply for a minor modification separate from this rezoning to allow that parking on the side there. But they do have enough parking underground to meet those requirements. So that'll be a separate hearing for that.
Anything else?
That's it. Thanks.
Anything else, folks? All right. Thanks, Mike and Steve. Does anybody else from your team want to present?
This is it.
Just us two. Yep.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right.
Thanks.
Now it's the opportunity for the public.
I have one more question.
Oops.
So what is the distance from the road to the end of that shorter building?
The shorter building, and we'll have to double check, but I believe we're at the 20-foot building setback on the shorter building. Yeah.
Okay.
And that, and is, then the, what the, that is the required setback.
And then the shorter building is how long, big?
It is 70 feet. I think we're 70 feet wide or 70
feet
deep.
So it's 90 feet from the road.
Yeah. And then there's a little kind of annex between the two, so we're probably at 110, 115 feet to the larger three-story building.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any members of the public who'd like to address the commission on this particular application? Now's your opportunity, and please limit your comments to 5 minutes. Second call for any member of the public. Seeing no one coming forward, any member of the applicant or the applicant's team want to use their 3 minutes for second round? Are you comfortable with where you're at? Okay, very good. So we'll close the public hearing. Now, if I could have a motion for this application.
Move approval with the recommendations as the staff have stipulated. And in addition, I don't know how to say this, the new building, the shorter building in the front, the rehab and facility can only within 90 feet of the road can only have a height of
35. That's a standard for the zone, 35.
Okay.
And to do that, we'd have to be able to have an articulable public interest of why we'd make that add.
And that would be in order to have the transition from the purely residential single-family housing across the street into this very large building.
Okay. All right. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second.
So we got a motion by Craig, a second by Wade. Discussion. Let's see. Since you made the motion, you get to discuss first.
You know, we've been over this before. I think it's a great development. And, you know, for whatever reason they've decided to make this change, I think, you know, it just strengthens the development. And I have overall no problems with it. But I do see the problem with bringing that so close to the road at 45 feet, if that is what would be allowed. And I that's why I added that additional.
All right. Chad, you're the second, so you go next.
I probably brought up the topic, so. essentially, like, I hate to just get into the weeds of a project like that. However, I do see where initially we had the multifamily or bigger structures closer and isolated to one area. Now we're starting to bleed that into the residential area. So it does transition it. and it doesn't seem to be negatively impactful based on what's presented today. So it's not introducing something negative to what was presented.
Steve?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the additional requirement that you added to step it down like they're showing in the renderings. I think it's a fine move. I was going to say, to play devil's advocate, the other two buildings are, you know, right adjacent to the, especially the 102, the one that's closest to the 101 is closest to the, you know, that's right next door to a single family house, and it's 45 feet as well. But I mean, I think their plans are to step down in the front, and I think it's a sensitive move to, you know, but, and it's in line with, you know, the zoning exception to be contextual. So I think it's a reasonable, unless the applicant strongly objects, but I mean, that's what they're proposing. I think it makes sense to add that, and it steps back in a nice way. So
I support this application. I am a big fan of step backs, but I would probably prefer not that we not do that, but I don't want this to fail, so I would vote for it. And the reason I feel that way is I'm still lamenting the failure of building Grand Living, what's at Coralville, the Grand Living at Bridgewater, that beautiful facility that could have been in Iowa City in this location. I think that was a huge loss for the city of Iowa City for employment and taxes. And as an example of something done extremely well of similar ilk would be Featherstone at Hickory Hill. We all remember, well, some of us don't, that weren't here yet, what we went through with that one.
You and I remember.
Yeah, just, and I think it turned out beautifully. I don't know if anybody's had the opportunity to drive out there, but I mean, we could use it. That's what we need in Iowa City, and I'm very happy about it. Anything where we have opportunity to provide memory care, assisted living to our older folks, and housing options for 55 plus in the Iowa City, absolutely, I'm 100% in favor of that. I do nothing to slow that down if at all possible. So I support these. And that's it. So any other comments? Any other discussion? Okay, all those in favor of the motion. Does that include, I forget, I wasn't listening close enough, sorry. Do you include the conditions as listed in the staff report?
Yes.
Okay, and plus your step back requirement for, okay, very good. So all those in favor of the motion as recited by Commissioner Craig, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, signify by saying nay. Hearing no nays, the motion is approved 4-0. Thank you, everybody. Item number 5, case number REZ24-0009. Location is 500 ACT Drive. This is an application for a rezoning of approximately 48.6 acres of land located near 500 ACT Drive from Office Research Park Zone in Interim Development Research Park to Zone 2 Mixed Use Zone. Ann, are you up?
Yes, Ann Russett, planning. Thank you, Chair. So this is a rezoning of approximately 48 acres of property that's owned by ACT. This map shows the subject property. The property is accessed from the south from ACT Place and from the west from North Dubuque Road. Most of the land around the property is undeveloped. Here's the zoning map. The current zoning is both interim development research park and a small portion is also office research park at the southern end here. Surrounding the subject property, there's additional research park zoning and interim development zoning. There's some public zoning to the west and also some multifamily zoning to the west. In terms of background, this property was annexed in the late 1960s, early 1970s. It contains four parcels which have never been platted. They contain two buildings and some surface parking. Buildings are mostly vacant except a small portion. I'll go back to this slide here. This northern building here is currently being used by ACT for office space, but the rest of the buildings are vacant.
Which building, while you're there, is the school district have?
Right
it's
here.
It's the one outside the rezoning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Also, the property contains private streets. You'll see that there are streets throughout the subject property. They're all private. Currently, no specific development is being proposed. However, the developer has expressed some interest in adaptively reusing the existing office buildings into senior housing while leaving a portion of the building for ACT office space. Here's some pictures of the property. This is on the upper left. This is kind of the entrance, the southern entrance, looking north from ACT Place into the property. There's also a couple photographs over here of the surface parking lots and then the existing buildings on the lower left-hand corner. Again, the current zoning is a mix of office research park and interim development research park. Office research park allows uses such as office uses, hotels, and light manufacturing. The IDRP zone doesn't allow that much development. It's intended for managed growth and over time would eventually get rezoned to allow development. The proposed zoning is mixed use, and again, as I mentioned, there's an interest in converting some of those office buildings to residential uses while maintaining some of those office buildings as office uses. So the mixed use zone is appropriate for that mix of uses, which it allows a variety of residential and non-residential uses. Some examples are assisted group living, detached, single family, duplex uses. Mixed use also allows multifamily uses, and based on the acreage of the subject property, it would allow a maximum of 778 dwelling units. It also allows office uses, retail, eating establishment. In terms of the rezoning criteria, we look at consistency with the comprehensive plan and compatibility with the existing neighborhood character. In terms of consistency with the comprehensive plan, the future land use map of the IC 2030 plan shows this area as appropriate for office research development center uses. The proposed mixed use zone does allow office uses. And even though the future land use map does not envision any residential uses in this area, there are principles and goals and policies in the plan that speak to infill development and encouraging a diversity of housing type, which would be allowed by the mixed-use zone. Just pointing out some of the principles in the plan, in terms of infill development, it talks about rehabilitating existing structures and adding to the diversity of housing options. In terms of housing diversity, it encourages a mix of housing types within a neighborhood, which increases the opportunity for people to live in the same neighborhood throughout multiple life stages. And in terms of mixes, it talks about single-family homes, townhomes, duplexes, apartment buildings, even apartments and mixed-use buildings, all of which would be allowed with the proposed mixed-use zone. The Northeast District Plan also provides some guidance for this area, and specifically it provides some flexibility in terms of the land uses envisioned for this area. It notes that the city currently has 275 acres of land zoned as office research park. And the plan notes that this amount of land devoted to office park uses may be unrealistic, and alternative uses should be considered, such as residential, which would be allowed through the mixed use zone. In terms of compatibility with neighborhood character, most of the surrounding area is undeveloped, except for the area that we were just talking about, the school district property. The Center for Innovation is right here. Oaknell East, some multifamily buildings are located here. Further south and east, you can see some single family further from the subject property. And that the mixed-use zone is consistent with the surrounding development, which does include both a mixture of residential and non-residential uses. The property does contain sensitive areas. The applicant provided a document that shows the existing regulated features on the property, which was included in your packet. Sensitive areas development plan is not required at this time, but when this project comes back to you for the subdivision process, they would be required to prepare a sensitive areas development plan, which would show all the regulated sensitive features, potential impacts, construction limit lines. So that will be before the commission in the future. In terms of transportation, staff did require that the applicant submit a traffic study with their rezoning application. The study was reviewed by the city engineer, and he was satisfied with the results. The traffic did show that some additional delays may occur if the subject property were to develop at maximum capacity. However, future improvements are anticipated to help improve traffic flow within the site and the surrounding network. Additionally, future rezonings will require updated traffic studies. At this point, staff is not recommending any off-site improvements, but with future studies, we may be recommending off-site improvements depending on the results of those studies. As I have mentioned previously, this area has never been platted, and there are also multiple private streets. You can see the private streets here with the blue dot. So ACT Place, ACT Drive is private, as well as a portion of North Dubuque Road. And so staff is recommending several conditions to ensure the creation of an interconnected block and street network as this area develops. So the proposed conditions that we're recommending, there's four of them. The first is that prior to issuance of building permits for the construction of new buildings or additions to existing buildings, the subject property shall go through the subdivision process and obtain approval of a preliminary and final plat. This would allow the developer to move forward with adaptively reusing those existing buildings, but would require them to plat if they were proposing any new construction of new buildings. The second condition is that prior to issuance of any building permit, the owner shall either improve the private streets to city standards or escrow 110% of the cost of improving the private streets. This condition and the next is to ensure that these private streets meet our standards. There's a proposal to change these buildings to residential uses. We want to make sure that it can accommodate that development as the area develops. The third condition is that prior to issuance of a certificate of occupancy, the necessary improvements to the streets are made to comply with city standards so that as those residents occupy the buildings, any improvements are done prior to those buildings being occupied by residents. And then lastly, at the time of platting, the private streets would become public right-of-way and maintained by the city. Staff is recommending approval of this rezoning of the 48 acres to mixed use, subject to the conditions that I just laid out, those four conditions. In terms of next steps, after the commission makes a recommendation to the city council, we will ask the city council to set a public hearing and likely hold a public hearing on January 7th. So that concludes my presentation. Thank you.
Thanks, Ann. Questions from the commission for staff on this application?
I have a lot of questions about the streets.
Okay.
When you say that the streets become public after platting, and when is platting going to take place?
The platting needs to occur before they
build
any new buildings or build an addition.
Rehab what's there, but no additions to those buildings or no new buildings. And then once the streets become platted,
then they become public right of way.
When it becomes platted, then it becomes a public street.
Yes.
And at what point are they required? Are they required then to bring it up to public standards?
They're required to bring it up to public standards before any buildings are occupied with residents. So if they choose to move forward with adaptively reusing those buildings and converting them to residential uses, they would need to satisfy our city engineer that the streets either meet city standards or that they're going to have to make some improvements so that they do meet city standards.
And I would guess that the city engineer doesn't like that circle. And if the city engineer says, you know, and I think you sort of refer to that when you talk about blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, it might be a requirement from the city that a street system does not include the actual circle, or not?
I suppose that's possible. When they apply for a preliminary plat, they're going to have to demonstrate that there is connectivity and that the streets are able to extend to the east and to the north. So that's something that we will evaluate at the subdivision process to ensure that there's an interconnected street network. Whether it results in changing that curve, that's kind of unknown at this point, but okay. It's what exists now.
Right. Okay. Also, somewhere it's referred to another access point onto Dodge.
Yeah.
Where would that be?
Let me bring the map up. So there are plans to make an improvement here. The city is actually going to make an improvement to put a traffic light here at ACT Circle. When this property develops here, this is kind of, let me show you with the. Oh gosh, you can't see it there. Okay, so this area here is outside of the proposed rezoning area.
Right.
So when this gets rezoned, they're going to have to extend ACT Circle or provide some sort of street extension through this property here. I think there used to be maybe a connection on Dodge.
I always thought you could just drive up to ACT from Dodge. And then
I don't think there's.
Someone said you never could do that.
Okay, you can't now.
You can't now, but I think you used to be able to.
Yeah, I think you could.
And then they built the whole circle thing in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was going to that school building and I thought, well, yeah, it's right off Dodge. And I had to go out the interstate and turn around and come back because I couldn't get there off Dodge.
So at this point, the city is going to be putting in a traffic signal here. And as the area develops, it's going to have to extend into the site, and there will be a access to Dodge, but not from the subject property that's currently being rezoned.
But wouldn't that? I mean, that would encourage people on Scott who are going out trying to the interstate to cut through this neighborhood to get to Dodge, so they don't have to go down here and do two lights. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So be it, huh? Okay.
But we're not discussing that connection tonight.
Right.
That rezoning, tonight's rezoning won't require that connection.
Okay. Do you have something that shows the overlay of the parcels with the existing buildings? And why are the parcels divided that way? Does the owner decides how to do that, or
that is a good question. My guess is that the city would never allow anything like this to occur now. I mean, they would have had to gone through a subdivision process, but like I said, this area has never been platted. So they did there at some point in the past. There were these parcels that were created through some other means.
Oh, so the parcels are not something that's being created right now.
No, they exist. They exist. Yeah.
So the parcel exists right now.
Right.
For some unknown reason.
Yes.
Okay. I feel like I had one more down here. I assume sidewalks are at some point when they have to do the streets, they have to do the sidewalks.
Yes.
It's just, it's a lot to consider when you think 778 dwellings potentially mm-hmm. can be here. That's a lot.
Yeah, and I think that's why we are recommending that before there's any construction of new buildings, they have to demonstrate that there's a public street network, that there's connections, that there's blocks and lots that are created that can be built on. Without that, the development would be more haphazard and they could build on these parcels that exist now. We want to make sure that we think through the street network, the block network, and where that development will happen.
Right, and with the streets come a huge amount, I assume, of utility work because, you know, electricity and sewer and all that to more to 771 people or dwellings is a lot. But
yeah, and that is a maximum.
I know.
And the traffic study was based on that maximum. So it's probably more than would ever get built, but it's possible.
We've learned that it can happen. Okay. I think that's all my questions. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
All right.
Steve or Chad?
I got one brief question. City utilities, how does that behave with this? I'm assuming, is water and sewer, is it privately owned at this point?
No, they're connected to city utilities. Yeah, yeah.
Anything else, Chad?
No.
Steve? No. Could you go over the sensitive areas again? Because there's a lot of critical mm-hmm. and sensitive slopes there. And I just have concerns. Just really briefly, could you just touch on that? When we'd see that again and when would we consider that?
Yeah, with the preliminary plat. When they submit a preliminary plat, they'll have to that out.
It's not an issue tonight at all?
No.
Okay, very good. All right. Anything else from members of the commission? Okay, we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. If the applicant or the applicant's representative, please come forward and discuss this this application. It looks like you two gentlemen are in. And Steve's gonna come with you? He's a good man, he's warmed up.
Evening, everyone. Nick Hatz with Shive Hattery, civil engineer.
This is Steve Long with Salida Partners, also representing the buyers, and there is someone here from intermediary as well, which is the owner, current owner. If you have any questions.
Okay. Could you guys just talk about the road system since Susan has a lot of concerns. We want to make sure that she is satisfied. It's been a long time since I've driven back there, but I presume they're not anywhere close to city standards. And
actually the roads are in very good shape. I just spoke with the city engineer for an hour and 20 minutes today about the private streets with not Jason, but with Josh Slattery. Mm-hmm. So we're in the process of beginning to tackle those second and third rezoning conditions. But yeah, based on historic plan sets, the road was kind of constructed during two different phases, but they were both built to public street standards at that time. So they're, again, the city engineer has not formally responded to this, but as of today, the discussion I had with him was there really isn't a concern with like the section or like the detail of, you know, the construction of the streets. They're in good shape today. And then from just a layout perspective, that it's wide enough to be a city street. It has ample radius, radii to accommodate the traffic. So it is missing, you know, standard sidewalk paralleling both sides of the street, but that again will be worked out through the future preliminary platting processes, and then yeah, it has standard storm sewer and all that good stuff. Yeah, and then I'll be performing essentially some sort of like punch list walkthrough type thing to look at, and then I will submit that report to the city engineer to help determine that kind of escrow amount for all the improvements that'll be needed to be done prior to residences occupying those buildings. So
how does that happen? Is that a negotiation between the engineering firm and the city engineer to determine what those future improvements would be and to come up with cost? I'm just unfamiliar with how that process works.
Yeah, and that's part of what he and I's discussion was today, was what can I provide you such that you can evaluate it and come back, you know, so we can come to that agreement. So it's pretty common that consulting engineers will determine cost opinions based on plans. And then the city will review that and determine whether or not they feel it's acceptable or not. So that's what we're in the process of doing.
All right. Susan, do you have any particular questions?
I did have a question when I was worried about the streets. I was also worried about, you know, the sewer system and the stormwater management, because if a substantial amount of this property is developed into hardscape,
sure,
it increases runoff.
Yeah.
And but that you're saying that you think the stormwater system is robust enough to.
Yeah, I mean, it's not to say there won't need to be improvements. That'll be determined as preliminary platting and site plans are put forward for the subdivision process and then individual lot developments. But there are currently existing detention basins on site, and there are reasonable ways to develop the property, right, and perform stormwater management.
Well, I don't think ACT did things cheap. I mean, I'm just saying, I think,
yeah,
that it was quality stuff that got done, and it's just now not appropriate for what's going on there. And
yeah,
it's a good opportunity.
But I would just add to that that the buildings, I'm very impressed with ACT, even though right now I think there's less than 100 people working there, they're maintained at no expense spared. I mean, they're in beautiful shape.
I've been in the school one, and it is, yeah.
Chad or Steve, do you have any questions for Nick and Steve?
Just to clarify, this might be put in the for a future meeting, but you mentioned the storm sewer. Is the sanitary sewer, is that like in the public right away, and is it big enough for redeveloping the existing buildings?
We're in the process of performing sanitary flow studies in order to arm the city engineer with the information that they need to perform improvements that are kind of already planned, such as lift station improvements to the Highland lift station, which is to the north. The again, we're getting kind of outside of the realm of this particular rezoning, but the overall property is kind of split into multiple sewer shed basins, and there will almost surely need to be improvements, which we're looking into, but there are feasible ways to accommodate that. So
I mean, it's just like big picture backing up, I guess, there's not a lot of improvements that you foresee to be able to bring the road, the private roads, up to city standards to do the initial work of adaptive reuse of the existing buildings.
Yeah, I mean, based on the discussion I had today, it's predominantly more on those lines of kind of pavement maintenance, if you will, of removing, you know, retrofitting some cracks. There might be some full depth repair and replacement, and then there might be some small removals of some existing sidewalks where you have some kind of undesirable mid-block crossings of sidewalks for parking lots that are connected to the broader campus that don't make sense with the adaptive reuse. So, yeah.
Do those streets have curbs?
Yes.
They do.
Chad, anything?
No, not at this point. I'm excited to see it move forward.
Simply because I'm curious, because you brought up, when you were researching this, do you have any idea how those auditors' parcels were established?
I think some of them are based off of like old section lines, which is what has created the kind of the top right corner of the parcels in question. It's basically section lines, and that's what establishes the thing that kind of sets the north side of Oak Knoll East extending. That's kind of a, you know, the old 40 by 40 acre.
Yeah.
But and then as Scott Boulevard, you know, was established, that kind of set the south one, and the one that separates the two southern parcels, I'm not sure about. But yeah, there's some strange stuff going there. But like I said, it's never been platted before. So.
Yeah. All right. Good. Any further questions? All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Now it's the opportunity for the public to address the commission on this application. If there's anybody that's a member of the public who'd like to address us, now's your opportunity. Please come forward, state your name, sign in, and limit your comments to 5 minutes, please. Second call for a public comment. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing. Can I have a motion on this application?
I can move to approve.
Motion by Miller.
Second.
So we have a motion and second discussion. Since you made the motion, do
I think it's great mixed use. We need more housing, and seems like a great use for the site.
Excellent. Chad?
Same thing. I mean, city needs growth. It'll be exciting to get on that side of the Scott Boulevard, so hopefully it leads to more.
Susan?
I think it's great, you know, infill. I'm all about infill. And it could be something really special, I think. And it's really, it's nice to see what's sort of like a ghost town now become a vibrant, hopefully, you know, accessible and used part of the community.
Very good.
I'm also glad they're reusing the existing buildings. You know.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm entertained by the basic spoken will concept of this, to sort of like Washington, D.C. So I don't know. That's why I just love the way that looks. And secondly, maybe, Ann, you said there's 275 current acres that are zoned for Research Park. I thought we've been slowly but surely whittling that number down. Doesn't seem like we're making much
progress. That might be an old number.
Okay.
But there's still a lot. There's still a lot.
Yeah. I agree wholeheartedly with getting rid of those, because I just don't see that any use for that in the future. You know, just the world has changed. So I'll support this application. So further discussion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of this motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying nay. Hearing no nays, the motion is approved 4-0. Next up on the agenda is item number 6, consideration of meeting minutes from September 18, 2024. Are there any major additions or corrections to those minutes as published?
I have a minor correction, and then I'll move approval. On page 6, the last two paragraphs start with the word Craig that's spelled wrong. And with that, I move approval.
Okay, so we got a motion by Craig. Is there a second?
A second.
Second by Miller. Discussion? Hearing no discussion, all those in favor of approving the minutes in the packet with corrections as noted for September 18th, 2024, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying nay. Hearing no nays, motion is approved 4-0. Next item up is planning and zoning information. Ann?
Just a few updates. We executed a contract with Confluence consulting firm out of Des Moines, and so we're officially starting the comprehensive plan update process. That was executed last Tuesday. Let's see, the Redemption Center ordinance that the commission saw several months ago, that was approved by council, and the tobacco ordinance is actually still going through the process. I think second reading was approved last night. So they made some changes, so they had to go back to first reading. The Kratom did not get approved. That was not approved, I think. But yeah, second reading for tobacco, so third reading should be December 10th. So that's all I have.
All right. Anybody on the commission have anything for planning and zoning information?
Can I ask
go ahead.
Question about the comprehensive plan. Is there any kind of process, like will the P&Z commission be in any way involved in
that? You guys will be involved, yes. Right. We're still figuring out how and when and all of that, but we definitely will be keeping you guys informed throughout the process.
My most fervent wish on that is that we get all the district plans updated and meshing with each other, and the areas that don't have district plans have them, and maybe we can eliminate some of the districts, and particularly in Riverfront Crossings. I know you don't call them sub-districts. I don't know what to call them. But, I mean, we're getting a little micromanagement on some of those, but that's just my feeling. Susan?
I just had a question about the giant building that's on Riverside Drive and it's hard to miss. I mean, what is actually going to be going in there nowadays when they look like maybe another few months or spring, maybe they'll be having people in there?
You know, I think our senior building inspector said that they want their certificate of occupancy for next fall. So maybe like July, August of next year. I think that's their what they're shooting for.
It's student
but
housing,
it is.
Though.
It's all residential. Yeah. All multifamily with amenity space.
Okay.
Primarily aimed at student housing, right?
Or yeah, I think so. But I mean, anyone could get a lease there. Yeah.
If you want to live with students.
Count me off. Anybody else? Any other planning zoning information?
I did have a quick question. It was a while ago that we approved on Orchard, I think it was Orchard Lane or Orchard Court, for that to be either replatted or I can't remember what it was for. It was, I think, Ryan Wade, the request. Has that proceeded at all?
So no, the rezoning was approved. So at this point, they could move forward with a site plan, essentially, right, to go through design review. But we have not received anything.
Just seems like we've had quite a few projects that have gotten approved through PNC that still have to come to fruition.
Right. Yes.
Anything else?
Yeah. All about the money.
It's always about the money.
Yeah.
And before we go for adjournment, I just want to welcome both Eric and Rachel to our team. We are glad you're here, and hopefully we'll get some good work done.
Didn't make you work very hard tonight.
Yeah.
First time. So can I have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Motion by Craig. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Miller. Discussion? No discussion. Those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed signify by saying nay. Hearing no nays, we're adjourned.